His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I say out here about the rats and all that bullshit, rats for power? You son of bitches, get out, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, and more. Black power to my people, my people, my people who have suffered here in the hells and smells of North America. I say it again, black power for black people. This is your brother, your friend, your comrade, your soldier in the battle with you, Sean Kwali, broadcasting live once again to you from the hells and the smells of North America. And as always, it is my esteemed joy and pleasure to be talking to you once again from this platform that we brilliantly call Black Power Radio. And I always have to, of course, start the show out with the help of our ancestors, by the grace of the almighty, wise, true, and living creator, by whatever name that you choose to use. We send and extend the thanks and a gratitude to the Creator for giving us another chance to wage war against the oppressive systems and the oppressive power structure that keeps us enslaved here in the hells of North America and whose tentacles reach all around the globe. We also extend greetings to you on behalf of the National Chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We're talking about our big brother. We're talking about a five-star general. We're talking about a man who is battle-tested, who is battle-ready, a man who was born for this hour to make war with the beast, and a man who sits at the head of the strongest black nationalist, pan-Africanist movement anywhere to be found, really, in the U.S. and across the globe. I'm talking about the New Black Panther Party, and I'm talking about the national chairman, Dr. and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who sends you greetings of peace and black power wherever you are in the hells and smells of North America. And as you've already read, tonight's show, we are talking no warning shots fired. There won't be a warning shot tonight, and we intend to be dead aim, right on target against our enemies tonight. Tonight, we don't intend to play no games. And as the Black Power General say, and as he taught, hell, we didn't come to pin the tail on the donkey. Of course, we come to pin the tail on the honky. And we also come to pin the tail on Uncle Tom Negroes and bootlickers and butt kissers. We come straight to you tonight. We gonna go right at you tonight, because as you may be informed or may not be informed of, the New Black Panther Party has been engaged in battle with the beast on many different fronts. Some that you hear about in the news, some that you hear about through the radio, and some that you don't hear about. But the New Black Panther Party is engaged in battle, and we will continue to hold the line. We will continue to put proper propaganda out there on behalf of black people and the black nation so that our people are not lulled to sleep by the spell of our enemy and by the machinations and schemes of our oppressor. We intend to make sure that our people go free right away and that our people do not be stopped in our march for progress, in our march for liberation, in our march for salvation. We intend to be the vanguard in the movement that has been going on for 400 years since the first slave stepped foot on the soil of North America, first touching through the Caribbean and first coming across the Atlantic. We intend to see our people free by any means necessary. And as you know, we ain't here to talk no talk. We ain't talking no talk. Even though we on Black Power Radio and we on a talking platform, we are just discussing with you, Black Nation, and even to the enemies listening. We are discussing with you our intention and our desire and our want to go free. And so tonight there is no warning shots fired. There's a lot of people that are running around that are cooning and buffooning. And as Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz talk about and teach about, they are being the white man's nigger in 2010. You do anything to please master. You do anything to be in the favor of white people and the white power structure. And you go to the extreme of dissing your black family and separating yourself from your black family. You go as far as to diss the new Black Panther Party, its membership, its leadership, its works, and its efforts just to please your oppressor. And so we don't make no bones about it. We have to come right at you. We don't make no bones about it. Just because you wear the same uniform as us in terms of black skin, we know straight up and straight down that that does not make you our brother, and that does not make you our sister. And we want to define the line as what makes one a comrade and a brother and a sister in times of battle. What is it that separates us or separates others in terms of brotherhood and sisterhood and camaraderie versus one who is an Uncle Tom or one who is a coon or one who is a shine and a handbone versus one that is a soldier and a scholar and a warrior? And so we coming right at you. And you know that everything that we do, we back it up through historical truth, proof, and evidence. Everything that we do, we back it up. And we always come from a mighty position of 10 points. We have 10 demands, 10 points that we base around a premise called freedom or death. We base this premise of freedom or death, meaning that if these demands are not met by we're not even talking to the white power structure, because we know that the white power structure will never, ever just willfully turn over anything to the black nation. We're talking straight up to the black nation, that if the black nation does not go for freedom, then the ultimate choice is death. That if you do not work for freedom and work to get free, then the only alternative that we have is to be slaughtered, is to be maimed, is to be brutalized, is to be destroyed, is to be evaporated. And so we say freedom or death. We say that we either become free or that somebody pays the ultimate price. And if you love yourself like I love myself, then the ultimate price would have to be on the head of the oppressive forces that exist in the world today. And so just to start off and say straight up what black power is, as you will hear us over the course of this broadcast say, Black power. Black power, for those who don't know, means to define and to develop and to defend that which is in the best interest of the black nation, to define what is in the best interest of black people, to develop what is in the best interest for black people, and to defend what is in the best interest for black people. Black power is our drive for black nationalism, self-determination, and a new day for black people. And when we say we're driving, that means that we don't have no time to look back. We don't have time to wait for stragglers. We don't have time to wait on people who are straddling the fence. When we say we're driving, damn it, we are dead serious in what we're saying. And you've heard me talk for the past couple of broadcasts about what to do in our areas and what to do in our cities and how it is a necessity now at this stage of the game. It is a necessity at this stage of life to develop a black power movement within your city. We must now develop a black power movement in our towns. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your background is. I'm not interested in trading religious barbs with a person. I'm not interested in whether you side on a Democratic side or a Republican side. I don't care about none of that, because all of that serves for the white oppressor. I'm not interested in the latest dance craze, and I'm not interested in what's going on reality TV. I and we, National Chairman Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the New Black Panther Party, are interested in developing a black power movement throughout every single city and town and area in the hills and smells of North America. The New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we always are organizing for the benefit of our people in whatever city, region, or nation, and all over this earth. And we consistently organize and mobilize to redeem our people and redeem ourselves. We consistently organize to mobilize to redeem our people and redeem ourselves. In the present white power structure, the white power structure has set the dice against the black man and black woman. They have qualified us, and they have deemed us absolutely irredeemable. They have absolutely said that the black man and black woman cannot be changed, that the conditions that the black man and black woman are in now is absolutely our own fault. And the reason why we're going through what we're going through is because we are some types of savages, and we are criminals, and we don't respect authority, and we don't have civilization and all of this that they put out there against us. And so as members of this party, and as black men and women in general, we work to redeem the black man and black woman and raise the black man and black woman to a new stage of consciousness, to a new level of life, to a new position and condition in the world. And I think that it's ironic and really quite terrible that no matter what city you go to in America, and really no matter where you go in the world, the condition and position of the black nation is generally the same wherever you go. No matter if you are in Cape Town, South Africa, no matter if you are in London, England, no matter if you are in Brazil, no matter if you are in Peru, No matter if you're in Detroit, no matter if you're in Philly, no matter if you're in Washington or California or Texas or Oklahoma or Louisville or St. Louis or Nebraska or Maine or Florida or Tennessee or anywhere, wherever you are, if you would look outside and go outside, you will see that the condition of the black man and the black woman is the same, that we are deaf, dumb, and blind, and we have been robbed of a knowledge of ourselves, robbed of a knowledge of the power of our own being, robbed of our history, robbed of our culture, robbed of our names, robbed of our very minds. And so the black man and black woman operates off of this condition on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis. And so to this end, the new Black Panther Party mobilizes and organizes 24 hours a day. And we urge our people to organize and mobilize on a 24-hour-a-day basis. We ask you to commit your life to organize for black people. If you believe that your city is extra special and it can't be changed in terms of the condition that black people live in, we say give us a call or email us. Go to the website, newblackpanther.org, and let's put our heads together. Let's organize together. Let's build together. Let's create together. Let's manufacture together. And let's move together in a collective responsibility that will allow us to make broad changes right there in your towns, in your city, in your life. I know it seems hard. It seems like there's nothing that we can do many times. It seems like we are, you know, defenseless, like we don't have any help, like we're just, you know, at the whim of whatever's going on in the world. But this is why the new Black Panther Party is dead set on giving you and me an example, giving us things and showing us through our actions things that we can do to make a difference in the world that we live in. Anywhere where you have an active new Black Panther Party chapter, you're going to have some change. Anytime that you have a politically astute organizer or activist, you're going to have some change in the town and the city that you live in. If you have an armchair revolutionary or a couched revolutionary, you know, then you will see the results of the inactivity. And so we are not asking you just to sit idly by and watch the new Black Panther Party work. We are asking the black nation to get up in the spirit of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and do for self and go for self and to have one God, one aim, and one destiny, and to recognize the necessity for collective work and responsibility. It is that time, brothers and sisters, it is that time where we begin to stop the nitpicking, where we begin to stop the BSing, where we begin to stop playing games and shuffling our feet and shucking and jiving and trying to put a smile on the face of the white man just for a paycheck. The white man has most of us by the throats, has most of us by our life glands, because now, you know, they're paying the bills. And so we have to really do what we got to do on the job or do what we got to do in life to make most of them happy in order that they may cut the check and we may do what we got to do to pay the bills. This is a sad state of affairs of people who have created much of, if not all of, what is invention today, what is created today. We have made it a people who have designed everything that you see, a people who have orchestrated and architect the pyramids and built the mathematical systems and the science systems and the chemistry systems, of people who have built the civilizations from the ground up. We are the people. We descend from the people, the very people who even taught the darker peoples of the world and even the white man certain sciences. They study from our actions, from the black man and the black woman. All of this came from our people and much, much more. But when you compare that to what we are doing collectively today as a people, we fail in comparison. We are very small in comparison. We don't even do a fingernail's worth of work compared to what our people did as we were constructing the great architectures in Kemet and in Africa. We don't even do a fingernail's worth of work as concerned of what we did in terms of the mystery systems and mystery schools that we had. Not even a fingernail's worth. And so we recognize in this that we have been destroyed. We recognize from our fall, from our positions, our kingly and queenly positions, that we have been destroyed. We recognize that there has been a, as they say, a fall from grace, that we are not the people that we were in the beginning, that we are not the people who, you know, stemmed directly from the creator of everything good and even the very universe itself. We have fallen from this position, and we now strive and struggle to become one with ourselves again, to find ourselves again and find out where we are in this world today. It is us who are lost, who speak another man's language. It is us who wear another person's last name. It is us who are being educated in another person's school system and educational system, and who take pride in the education of our oppressor. It is us who steal in 2010, eat what we call soul food, but what is really slave food. It is us who still carry on the oppressive traditions and interests of our former slave masters and their children. And so we have to work together. We have to do it together. If we don't work together, then the talents and the ability that each one of us share is left out of the equation. And we no longer have a holistic view of what to do for the black nation, but it becomes myopic or it becomes singular. And so we have to begin to put our time, our talent, and our effort into the black nation. Anything that we do outside of building up our people, because a colonialist power structure is in place, anything that we do automatically supports the white man and the white power structure. So we shall and we must develop a black power movement in our areas and work to provide complete constructive change amongst our people, so that we can defend our rights when we are attacked. It is us who says when the police rearrange our eyeballs and our sockets, can't we all just get along? Instead of having a national minister, or pardon me, a national ministry of defense and a defense in our local towns and cities that will patrol the pig and patrol the police and make sure that if our people are stopped, that they are not harmed and that they are not mishandled and mistreated and rough-housed. We should have a national ministry of defense. Brothers and sisters who are trained in law, who are trained in procedure, who are trained in warfare and martial arts tactics, who are trained in defensive maneuvers, so that when we go up against the brute beast, we know what we're doing, that we ain't playing no games, that we're not there just with cell phones while our sisters get, you know, beat down by the cops as to what, like what happened in Seattle. We're not just there with cell phones to watch as what happened in many other instances. But as you have someone who is recording with the cell phone, you also have another, you have another who is in the wings breaking down the procedure, another who is in the wings to make sure that the person is not tased in the, you know, tased and harmed in any kind of way. You have another who is there to make sure that everything goes according to plan. See, the Black Panther Party of the 1960s set it up to where when a brother or a sister was busted by the police, they were rolling so smooth in the beginning that they would go down to the station and bail the brother or sister out. Now, we say we don't want our people to be incarcerated. We say we want our people free. But in order to say that, that means that we have to be willing to put our monies where our mouth is. That means that we have to work again collectively, and that if we want our people free, that we have to put our monies together to bail our people out of the concentration camps and out of the private industries of the prison industrial complex. We must work in a unified effort and in a effort of solidarity with other black peoples and black organizations worldwide. We are not gangbanging in the name of black power. It does us no good to criticize the Blood Street Tribes or criticize the Crip Street Tribes or criticize the Vice Lord Street Tribes or criticize the folks or the GDs or any of the street tribes that are out there and talk about how terrible and talk about how genocidal it is for them to be involved in the capitalistic games of the white man. And we ourselves within the Black Power movement are steadily gangbanging on each other, gangbanging on other black organizations, gangbanging on people who are trying to do what they can to uplift the mentally and morally and economically and spiritually dead black man and black woman in the hells of North America. It does no good for us to criticize because we become nothing more than hypocrites. If we are going to criticize, if I'm going to criticize, that means that we have to be able to put something in place better than that which we're criticizing. So to the black organizations listening, if you are for revolutionary change, if you are for complete constructive change and you are serious and have a program that is not harmful to black people, we will unite with you and we will work with you and strive to work with you in solidarity. And we will build alliances with black organizations and black leaders and black churches and black mosques and black political affiliations. And if you ain't got no organization, if you're just a brother or sister that wants to do good, we will strive to build solidarity and unity, or what they call Umoja. We will build that with you. Right now as we speak, we are looking for anybody across the total scope of the globe, whether in the U.S. or out of the U.S., that wants to see the conditions of the hells of North America turned and uprooted and overturned immediately and overnight. And in that same vein, to the leaders, to the black leaders especially, who, as we said earlier in the show, want to play the role of Uncle Tom, want to play the role or be the role of Fiddler, want to be the role and play the role of Step and Fetch It, we shall also have those in place who will appropriately handle you when you betray the interest of the black community and the black nation. We can no longer just accept black leadership or black leaders just because they stand up and they sound good, or because they wear nice clothes, or because you like the way their hair looks, or you like the way they smile, or because you like whatever, or we like whatever. We can't accept black leadership just because, you know, they appeal to the five senses. We have to work on a better level than that. We now have to begin to hold black leadership accountable. If you or me or we say that we are black leaders, then damn it, we expect that the leaders lead, and that the leaders know where in the hell they're going at, and that the leaders are not flip-flopping and not wishy-washy, but that you are firm with your direction and firm under oppression and firm in times of danger, and that we can put our trust in you without worrying about you selling our interests behind a closed door in a smoky room for a meeting with the white man. We have to be able to trust our black leadership, and we know that there are those who are playing games, who are not really down for the people. They are down for the green dollar. They are down to get as much of the wealth of this world and the luxury of this world and the, you know, lifestyle of this world as they can. And they go before us parading as though they are, you know, super leaders or extra revolutionary, and all they want out of this world is to please the white man behind closed doors, or to be seen as someone with status. And one thing that I love, if I had to pick anything, but one of the things that I love about our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, is that he's a down-to-earth brother. He genuinely loves black people. He genuinely cares about black people. I don't care if it is one who is rich from the highest station of life or one who is at the lowest station of life. He, like his mentor and teacher, the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, he will go down on the concrete with the man that is homeless and put dollars, hundreds of dollars in that homeless man or woman's pocket. He will sit down with those who have been stricken with HIV and AIDS. He's the one who will sit down and organize with those who have been kicked out and put out and locked out. And so if there's one trait that I admire, if I had to single out any, it would definitely be that with all of the success that this brother has attained in this world by this world's standards, he's not an arrogant brother. He will sit down with you and talk with you and build with you and organize with you. And this is the type of leader that he is. And this is the type of leadership that we have. We'll take a quick call. 904-705. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment, Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Brother McHale.
You're on the air, comrade. Yes, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, brother.
Brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
It's Brother McHale, Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Black Power, Brother McHale. What's going on with you, soldier?
To the National Central Committee and the National Chairman, brother.
Hey, working hard, brother, working hard. What's going on down there in Florida?
Well, we're trying to rebuild the chapter at this present time, man, and we request, brother, we want to invite some officials to Jacksonville, brother.
Okay. Well, yes, all you got to do is just email us at headquarters. You know, the headquarters email, NBPPHQ.
Yes, sir.
Yahoo.com. Just email us at headquarters, and let's set something up. And as you, I don't know if you heard the national chairman when he was on a few weeks back, but he specifically said down there in Jacksonville and in Florida, stand up and get stronger. That's what he said.
Well, we're working on it. We got some new troops, and we're rebuilding the house. And I'm just glad to be on tonight and to hear the inspiration, motivation to get me to get busy and go to work on the behalf of the black liberation struggle.
Yes, sir.
I just
want to
say again, black power.
Hey, black power to you, Brother McKellen. Thank you so much for your comment, brother.
Thank you, brother. Black power.
Black power. And again, email us. If you want to bring us to your town or your city, email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. We will set up the arrangements immediately. The national chairman is desirous. He specifically said that he wants to especially target the college campuses. He wants to get a hold of the youth. He believes in the youth and knows that the youth are the ones who produce each generation's revolution. The revolution always is spawned and always starts from the youth. And so we want to get a hold and get a grip on the youth of today's generation going into the next generations so that our future can be secured, number one, but that so we can light a revolutionary fire in the youth that will not die out. And, you know, what happens is a lot of times when you have, you know, people who have lived for quite some time, and this is no disrespect to our elders, but when you have people who have lived for some time, there becomes a disconnect between the elders and the youth because the elders a lot of times don't see where the youth are going at because they have witnessed, you know, things like the civil rights and they witnessed the freedom rides. They witnessed all of that. And so to see what is going on today, they believe, you know, and to some degree, they're not wrong to some degree, but they believe that there has been positive gain, that there has been change, that there has been advancement. And so they don't understand, many of them, not all, but some don't understand why the youth are still dissatisfied, why the youth are not happy with the conditions that are going on in the hills of North America today. And I say to the youth that are listening, under the sound of this voice and under the authority of the New Black Panther Party, you're not wrong for believing and knowing that the change must come in North America. We say in our program that we want freedom, and that is a full and complete freedom. So a full and complete freedom does not just mean, you know, having positions such as President Barack Obama has in the White House. I mean, that's what that is, but that's not complete freedom. Having complete freedom does not mean simply being able to drink out of a water fountain or be able to go to toilet or to be able to get on the bus and ride to your destination or to get, you know, be able to sit at a lunch counter. That's not all that freedom is. Those things are just, you know, things that every human being should be able to do anyway, you know, unrestricted. We should be able to travel and be able to drink if we're thirsty and be able to try on shoes without having to cut out shapes of our feet before we put on the shoes. These are things that we should have had anyway. And this is no disrespect to those who have fought, who have bled, who have died for us to be able to do those things. Those things are necessary. But the point is, whenever you have change, change always comes from bloodshed. Change always comes from work and responsibility. Change always comes by overthrowing that which is oppressing you in the first place. And so, back on the point, our national chairman is a humble brother and a brother that will sit down and organize with you wherever you come from. The New Black Panther Party is willing to work with any organization that will not betray the interest or any person that will not betray the interest of the black nation. Hell, we know we have a divine destiny, and we know that we have to have divine guidance with what we're doing. But brothers and sisters, I'm just letting y'all know this is not a religion. We are not in any way, shape, form, or fashion as a party a religion. okay? And as you always hear me say, really, your religion is whatever you do with your day-to-day life. It doesn't matter what title a person particularly calls themselves. A title is just a definition of what a person says that they're supposed to be doing or not doing. And so it doesn't, we're not interested here in the titles. We're talking about how a person, male or female, lives his or her life. And so our religion should be revolution, complete constructive change. Our religion should be, on a day-to-day basis, complete constructive change. Your nature is what your nature is, but that which you do in terms of your religious day-to-day life should be complete constructive change. We accept people from all types of faith and spiritual backgrounds and spiritual practices and representations. We just say that it is necessary to study your religion or your spiritual practice from a black liberation perspective. You must be able to practice your spiritual walk of life from a black liberation perspective. If your particular path of life, or your particular choice in life, does not lead to your black behind and your black mind getting free from the oppressive yoke of this slave master and their children, then what the hell good is it? There is no religious book or spiritual path that I've ever come across that did not talk about liberating and talk about freeing those who were in captivity, whether you're talking about mental, spiritual, and especially physical. All of the paths that come from our African ancestry and traditions at the root all talk about liberating and freeing the people who are oppressed and the people who are held in a bondage condition. And so whatever your background is and whatever your walk of life is, you have to be able now to practice that from a black liberation perspective. And we would 100% support you, 100% back you, and 100% roll with you, you know, because, again, we are talking about redeeming the black man and black woman. You just have to know that the enemy has straight up destroyed us. There's many of us who would like to believe that because we are in 2010 that we exist in some kind of post-racial society, you know, with some kind of post-racial equality, and that we share in percentages or pieces of the wealth that the white man and the white power structure have. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you in no way, shape, form, or fashion share in a tenth of the wealth, not to mention all of it, but not even a tenth of the wealth and the lifestyle and the luxury of the elites of the white power structure. It doesn't exist. There's only a small percentage of those who run the white power structure as it is. And the working, what they call the working class black man or black woman, is not even in that equation unless they serve the interest of the oppressor and our former slave masters and their children. And this is why it is important that we work, and we work hard, to develop a black power movement. There has to be a movement going on. There has to be motion going on. There has to be activity going on. You want to know why people always run from bees, you know, why they always swat bees? Because bees are always in motion. Bees are always working to protect the hive. Bees are always working to obtain the objective and protect the queen, protect their leader, always working to build their nation, build their colony, build their situation. And if they feel like you are a threat or I'm a threat, no matter how big you are and no matter how small they may be, hell, they will attack your ass. And the same lesson should be learned from the black man and the black woman as a sign in nature. For those who understand, as a sign in nature, because that comes from our people, that Hell, we have to protect our own. And any threat that exists against our nation, we have to attack the threat. That's why we are called the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. We must defend self. You must defend black. When you see black under attack, you have to begin to take defensive measures. You have to, and we have to begin to organize in a way to offset the aims and the objectives of our enemy. We have to develop black power through the educational system. I mean, now, obviously now, the educational system of the white oppressing white people is destroying the minds and the mentality and the growth of our youth and our future. Anytime in the public school system that you make a descendant of a slave, a descendant of the oppressed, one who has been disenfranchised and removed from sanity, anytime that you make that individual in your system pledge allegiance to a flag that has destroyed and defamed and maimed and murdered our people, that automatically lets you know that you are in a killing field. Anytime you send your babies into a system, or we send our babies into a system that teaches them about George Washington being a founding father and George Washington being an upright man who never told a lie, then you as a conscious black man or black woman must already know that that is a killing field and that they are killing our babies and killing us. Because even if we get into the high school level, or even if we get off into a college, academia and a college level, they still teach us a curriculum that is infused with white supremacy and white ideology, and it still benefits in the end the aims and objectives of the white power structure. It's gotten so bad now that you can do, hell, 5, 10, 13, 14 years of college, and when you get out of college to receive your degree, receive your master's, and receive your PhD and your BA, and receive your paperwork, you can do all of that time in college and then get out of college and not even have a job to go to in the field that you spent all of that time learning about in college. You can get right out of college and not even be guaranteed in America a place to use your skill to build for yourself and your family and your future. This is a sad state of affairs, brothers and sisters. It is a sad state of affairs where a person will go to college for 10 years and get out of college and can't even do something with the skill that they've acquired. You see college students flipping burgers at Burger King and, you know, making fries at White Castle and things like this, and they spent 10 years and went deep into debt just to flip a burger and just to make some fries. Why don't the college students who are listening, why don't you bring your skill to the New Black Panther Party? You already know, if you're a smart and wise black student, that there is no future for you in the Democratic Party. You know there's no future for you in the Republican Party. There is no independent party that is strong enough to represent the interests, the wants, and the desires of the black nation without compromising. The only political avenue that you have to express that which is deep within your soul, and that which is the cries to be answered by your ancestors, is the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. You heard the national chairman make a plea and make a call out for people from different walks of life to bring their talents to the new Black Panther Party. Now is that time. It's not the time to be afraid and to worry about what the white man says on the news or what somebody might say about you down the street or what even your family might say about you. Now is the time to answer the call of destiny. Chairman Bobby Seale of the Black Panther Party called it seizing the time. Now it is the time to seize the time in history to make a change, to stop the murder, stop the brutality, stop the savagery, and to move even on the ills that affect the black community on a day-to-day and consistent basis. It is time now to answer the call. It's past time, technically, but to wake up your consciousness and wake up our minds. It is time to answer the call. And so we have to develop black power through education, and we must begin to work to educate our people and work to educate the youth. And we must begin to hold meetings and hold rallies and build liberation schools that teach teachings that will deprogram a brother or deprogram a sister from the poisonous injection that was placed into the mental capacity and mind of that young black man or black woman, or even older black man or black woman. We must begin to have political education class. If you don't know what a political education class is, political education is not just discussing political science from a college level. It is not just discussing about government, the branches of the government, and talking about the legislative process, and talking about how laws are passed and what Congress does and what the job of the Department of Defense does. That is not all that a political education class of a black power movement and the new Black Panther Party is about. We say, in the spirit of Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. of Chicago, Illinois, Ashe, we say, like he say, we say that politics is everything. That politics is everything, and everything is politics. And so when we talk political education, we are talking about everything in life. We are talking about covering everything that affects black people throughout North America and throughout the world, because keep in mind, we are revolutionary Pan-Africanists. And so the condition that exists in Africa, that is our condition too. The condition that exists in any part of the world that contains black people, that is our condition too. So if you're talking France, if you're talking Canada, if you're talking South America, if you're talking about the blacks in Mexico, if you're talking wherever, that is our condition too. Those are our brothers and our sisters too. And we love them like we love ourselves. And we want the hands of U.S. imperialism and white power to be removed from their grips and from their necks as well as our own. And so we are right here in the hells of North America, right here at the center of the head of the snake. We are at the center and the head of the snake. And so this is why we are encouraging and pushing for rallies and programs and town hall meetings on the streets, in the schools, in the projects, on the radio. We, as now, encourage you to begin to push your black power movement on the radios with proper guidance, through print media, and anywhere where you can get this knowledge out. We encourage you to begin to be strong and to begin to be bold and to begin to be revolutionary in your work, in your daily activity. Most of our youth are captive. You know, they're captive in the public school system. They're captive. They don't know anything else. And so for this reason alone, it is our job to liberate them and to liberate ourselves through proper education and to liberate ourselves by developing black power through Education, don't forget, black power is to define, develop, and to defend what is in the best interest. It was the new Black Panther Party whose early roots began in a struggle with the educational system, where you had the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and others who would begin to put pressure on the school boards in Dallas, Texas, and other areas. They would put pressure on those who would be in charge of teaching our youth and teaching our babies. It was the new Black Panther Party that would put pressure on the teacher to begin to teach education through a proper lens and a proper context. We must struggle to make sure that the knowledge of self and our history is taught through the school board systems. You say, Brother Sean, well, what is the knowledge of self? The knowledge of self is just that, knowledge about you, knowledge about your history, knowledge about your culture, knowledge about our plan of action, who our generals were, who our liberators were, who our educators are. We got to start talking about us. We hear about so many others that we forget about us. We hear so much about other continents, we forget about Africa. We hear so much about other places that we forget where we come from. And now you have even little black girls that come up now, and they don't even want to see a black doll. They don't even want to see a black replica. They don't even want to look at a black cartoon or a black movie or even be black, because they have been bombarded, and even the boys have been bombarded by everything white. And so we have to develop, brothers and sisters, a black power movement through the educational system. And we must begin to, again, overthrow the educational system of the oppressor. That means at any time that you hear your youth, your personal children, or even a youth that is in your community spill out that white supremacist ideology from their mouth, you must begin, and I must begin, if we're not already, to overthrow that with black facts. Always get a book. You know, you can get the book 101 Things of a Negro. You can get all kind of books that came out kicking black facts and talking about what black people have done throughout the wheels and annals of history, and begin to refute that improper teaching that they have injected into our youth and into ourselves. A proper education, brothers and sisters, will enable us to define and will enable us to develop and defend what is in our own interests. And so that's not just in terms of a curriculum in school. That is also in terms of health care. That is also in terms of the way that we eat. That is also in terms of the way that we think. That is also in terms of the way that we act. All of that and more is black power through education. And, of course, if you're going to be educated, you got to also talk about economic power. You got to talk about economic power. Now, I hear some of our people who I believe have good intentions but don't really know exactly what they're saying. Sometimes they say that black power is green power, meaning that they believe that in order for a person from our ancestry and our nation to have true black power, that they have to have green or have capital, have money in their pockets. Now, let me be clear that on this show, we did a show a few weeks back called Revolutionaries Aren't Supposed to Be Broke. And so I don't want you to leave this show thinking that Brother Sean or Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, is in any way endorsing that it is okay to live impoverished and be broke and never be able to take care of your family and yourself. We are not endorsing that. We come from a people who wore silk and had jewelry and even had diamond-encrusted cups and gold cups and all of that that we used. And so we're not in any way saying that we should be broke or that we shouldn't have the means to be able to get our day-to-day things and things that we need. But let us not be confused And as the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad taught, think that a piece of paper with some dead peckerwood presidents on it will in any way enable us to secure a complete and full black power. That is a tool. The capital can only be a tool, a bartering process to get certain resources or certain necessities or certain means to help us along the road for black power. But just to have capital or money alone, it is not enough for black power. And as the old saying goes, as the old adage goes, a fool and his or her money will soon depart. And as we witness so many times, not just with entertainers, but as we witness so many times, even with people who hit the local lotteries, within a few years' time after they hit the lottery, they lose their money. They go insane. Their families begin to break apart because it's not money alone that provides stability. The money can only be a tool and a resource to be used. And so we struggle to promote and develop a black economy. As Minister Malcolm X taught, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught him, as the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey taught before them both, we must control our own economy and our own black economics. We must control the dollars that flow in the black community. We must control the money that flows in our neighborhoods. We must own and control the businesses in our community. In order for a business to operate and flourish in the black community, they must be willing and they must actively be producing something in the neighborhood in which they have a business that will ultimately work for the benefit and the growth of the black nation in that area. That is how you make a healthy economy. If the business which you go to support, you give your hard-earned money or your capital to this business owner to get whatever means that you can get from this store in terms of merchandise. If the business owner and the business would give monies back to the community, then we would not suffer from the slave syndrome of capitalism. We would have a healthy black economy where the money would flow in our community and would keep revitalizing the black community. And so you would be more happy and you would be more in a hurry to support a black business that would be willing to sponsor, say, for a good example, a community center for the youth so that we can get our youth up off of the streets, get them up off of the street corners and make them, you know, feel loved. And we can put a community center or something in the community that would teach them how to run their own business, how to have agriculture, how to farm, you know, how to dress if necessary, you know, how to take care of themselves. We can put mentorship programs, manhood training, sisterhood training. We can do all of that right there in a community center that will be sponsored by the business. See, this happens in other communities, but it is void and devoid in the black community. So we must begin to control the monies that roll and come through the black community. We must struggle to support black-owned stores and the black banks if we have them, and black supermarkets if you have them, black laundromats, black hotels, black cab companies, even the black beauty supply shops, the black retail outlets, the restaurants, and any other kind of city, I mean center, that is black. We must begin to support our own. We are hypocrites if we call ourselves black nationalists and we drive past or walk past the black-owned business and then run ourselves into the Arab store or run ourselves into the Chinese store or run ourselves into the white man's store or run ourselves into the Latino store before even attempting to support the black business in our community. We must begin to support our own. The only way that the black businesses can thrive and survive in a capitalistic society is if we begin to support our own stores, businesses, banks, supermarkets, hotels, laundromats, cab companies, and the like first. We must support our own first. We must spend monies with our own first. We must do for self first. Other nations do it. Other nationalities support their own. In the Jewish community, they will make sure they will go out of their way. The so-called Jewish community, they will go out of their way to make sure that they spend monies amongst their own people in their own society first before they ever, ever come down to a black community. You hardly ever see, if you see them at all, a so-called member of the Jewish community, even down in the black community, unless they're there trying to get some money or get some finance or do some type of trade or business for their own people. I say that, hell, the black man and woman should be wise enough to support his or her own. The black man and woman should be wise enough to close ranks in the same way and in a better fashion like others, so that we can begin to support our own economic dollar. We must develop and defend black economic power. We must also establish trade with ourselves and our motherland in Africa. We must do this. We must establish trade with ourselves and establish trade with our motherland in Africa. It don't take nothing but a phone call or an email or a letter in the mail to make a connect with one of your brothers or your sisters. All of us have people in our communities that are from other areas, that may be from the Congolese people, that may be from the Sudanese people, that may be from whatever members of our tribe and black nation. And all it takes is for you to make friends and get a connection, and you can begin to develop international trade right there from your city where you are. You say you're a Pan-Africanist. We say we're Pan-Africanists. Well, hell, we must begin to develop trade. Coming right up out of Philadelphia, right out of Philly, our brother Minister King Samir, our national field marshal, has developed international trade with rice coming from the motherland, from the mother country. We must give him a black hand and a black power. You must begin to take that example. We must take the example of our brother and take the example of others and develop international trade amongst our own people in the motherland in Africa. If you know that the white man will cut us off, we talk this talk about martial law, what they're going to do when they cut out the lights and cut out the electricity. Well, hell, we have to have defensive maneuvers. If we have our brothers and sisters' connection there in the motherland, in the mother country, when the beast shows his or her true nature and acts a complete fool, then you don't have to necessarily worry so much, because you know that you have an international trade process that will ensure that you have food, that will ensure that we have clothes, that will ensure that we have the means to produce shelter, that will ensure that we have the ability to do what we got to do to survive and thrive through whatever situation is going on. This is what the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey was talking about with the UNIA. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about with the founding and building of the Nation of Islam. This is what our brother, our ancestor, another, Imari Obadeli and the RNA was talking about. This is what so many have talked and pushed us towards, and it is time for this generation now to pick up the mantle and do for self. It is that time. It is that time. And so with all of that, we have to go from that to defending the political power. We have to defend the political power. We've already said that politics is everything, that politics is who gets what, when, where, why, and how. Everything is political. If you are in the black business, doing black trade, that is a political maneuver. That's politics. They've got us confused. They've got us thinking that politics is some kind of debate between, you know, some old funny-looking peck of wood named John McCain and Barack Obama. That ain't really what politics is. That ain't all politics is. Politics is the determination of who gets what, when, where, and how. And so we must defend black political power. We must defend, again, the resources in our city, in our community. We must defend what's being built in our cities, in our regions, in our nation. We must begin to put pressure on those who are pimping our community. We must begin to talk about unfair taxation. We must begin to make sure that the community's tax dollars that are being taken from your checks, those who work off the top, we must begin to make sure that our tax dollars are going where they should go in terms of our community. We must make sure that the tax dollar is properly used and that the dollars that were stolen from us and lifted from us are returned. This we're talking about is political power. We must begin to move on the affairs of the processes in our cities. Too many times, the mayors and the leaders, the political leaders in our city, roll without being checked. They do what they want to do. They have nobody to answer to except their own constituents. They have no one that is breathing down their back and making sure that they are not exploiting the black community. They have no one who is putting revolutionary pressure on their behinds. And so we must make sure that we are putting the right kind of pressure on the politicians in our cities and our towns and in our areas. All of you know that politics in the white man's world is a game. All of us know this. But we also know that this is a game that is played that also has an ill effect on our lives. That when they decide to, for example, dump chemicals in the waters, you know, in our rivers and streams, in the rivers and streams, or when they decide to dump toxic waste and keep chemical factories in the black community, this has an ill effect on our lives and our person. And ultimately, it causes us to meet an untimely death. It causes us to face disease and to face problems, health problems, because the politicians and those that are in charge of affairs in our cities are not concerned with the black life, not concerned with what is happening. They're only concerned with getting reelected and getting votes and securing another seat so they can have their job. So we must push our program in the local city council. And we again send a shout out to our brother, Brother Divine Allah, who ran for council and still running for council. Brother Divine Allah for council. We support you. And we need others who will run for council, who will run for regional positions, who will get on the school board, who will have political authority. We need those who will get in there. But when you get in there, you don't punk out. You don't back down. You don't bow down. But when you get in there, you get in there and you get in there strong and you represent and you tear some stuff up and you make it happen for the people. People get in there and then they get to buck dancing. They get to watering down their positions and watering down the program. We don't need that, black man and brother and sister. We don't need that at all. We need us to get in there and be strong and encourage political awareness and activity to further the black agenda. The black agenda must be strengthened. It must be furthered. It must be pushed. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad said that he was pushing in the new Black Panther Party to put black power, put black nationalism and revolutionary Pan-Africanism back on the agenda. When the new Black Panther Party first began, people were not really pushing black power. They were not pushing in a hard way black nationalism. They were not pushing Pan-Africanism in a hard way. It was systemic. It was, you know, on the college campus, per se. It was kind of watered down in most areas. But when the Black Power General got on the scene, the Black Power General said the new Black Panther Party, one of our jobs was to make sure that black power, that black nationalism, that Pan-Africanism was put back on the agenda. And so we must move in a revolutionary fashion to put black power, black nationalism, and Pan-Africanism back on the agenda in the politics of our state and city affairs. They don't even have us in the boardrooms, in the meetings. We are not even in the notes in most cases. We are not even in the minutes. They're not even thinking about what's going on. You look at cities like Detroit, damn near black city of Detroit that is just running wild, full of rich politicians who are on the payroll and don't care about the conditions and the capitalistic conditions that exist in the black community in a city such as Detroit or in other areas. They don't care at all. And so it is for the revolutionary, not saying that you love the system, not saying that you want to be a part of the system, but you have to get behind enemy lines. We must set up a beachhead behind enemy lines to get in there in some cases and make change so that you can be a reinforcement for those that are on the outside of the beachhead, and so that you can be one who acts on behalf of those on the outside of the beachhead. Y'all know what I'm saying. You got to get in there. Some of us, everybody can't be on the outside. Some of us got to get on the inside. But once you get on the inside, we got to know that once you're on the inside, you won't betray our interest, and that you will continue to struggle on the behalf of the liberation and salvation of the black nation. These are things, brothers and sisters, just some of the things that the new Black Panther Party is pushing for on a day-to-day basis. We are pushing to develop and enforce accountability in law enforcement and the criminal justice system. We must enforce accountability in law enforcement and the criminal justice system. The national chairman, who is an attorney, said he was going to spend his time and his legal expertise placing lawsuits and legal action against the police departments all across America. He was going to put pressure on them through the courts, and they were going to have to cough up some good old green capital so that we can put that capital in the hands of black people and to the black nation. It's got to be done. There has to be more revolutionary attorneys on the scene. That's one thing that the 60s had and the 70s had that you don't see enough of today in 2010 is revolutionary professional figures, revolutionary athletes, revolutionary attorneys, and revolutionary doctors. You know, you don't see it, and so we must develop it now. We must begin to enforce accountability. A situation like our brother Oscar Grant should not exist. It should not exist. But knowing that the beast is the beast, and that Satan is Satan, that the devils are the devils, of course we know that there's blood in their veins, and there's blood in their hearts, and blood in their minds, and they're bloodthirsty. And so of course we know that they love to kill. They've been killing for a long time. And so they executed Brother Oscar Grant right there in California, executed him right there as he lay defenseless on the ground. But who puts pressure on them? Yeah, we can say that, or they can say that there'll be an internal investigation and they'll look into it. But hell, you know like I know that the beast is not going to investigate the beast, that the system is not going to investigate the system, that those that work for the state are not going to snitch on themselves. Hell, the state never snitches on itself. The state never snitches on itself. It never tells on itself. And if it's forced to make an example out of one of its own, it only makes a lightweight example and says that this person acted, acted in a way that they wasn't supposed to act, and they slap them on the wrist. You know, like I know that they would not investigate, nor would they give justice in that case or in any other case. And so we must develop and enforce accountability in law enforcement. And again, we respect those who respect us. We respect those who respect us. And so those who show proper respect for the people in our community, talking about those who are in those departments, if you show that kind of respect for us in the community, then we will respect you and what you have to do in terms of your job. We won't interfere. As long as you are respectful and as long as you are courteous and as long as you are polite and as long as you are not abusive, we will not interfere. But again, we don't fear you. And we understand that the same breath you take is the same breath that we take. We understand that you have five senses like we have five senses. We understand that we are men and women who have developed a revolutionary culture and a revolutionary consciousness. And we understand that we cannot bow down to you when you act like a beast and act beyond the means of the law that you say that you want the society to go by. We cannot obey you when you act out of the bounds of the justice and out of the bounds of the laws of my eye. We cannot obey that. And so when you go beyond the means, we intend and we have maneuvers that intend to put you back in the place that a beast should be put in. And so we, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, will mobilize and organize on any police brutality and misconduct, on any police brutality and misconduct. And we will demand that the police in our community and all over the globe respect the human rights of our people and their constitutional rights. As you saw with the sister in Seattle, Washington, many of you saw the sister who was abused in Seattle, and she was punched in the mouth and slammed on the hood of the car while people looked on and spectated. And her cousin tried to come and help her, and her cousin was punched and brutalized and slammed down. And these sisters were ultimately made to apologize. These beautiful black queens were made to say to this brutalizer, this beast, we're sorry, when it was clear that the officer acted out of order and escalated the situation. And so again, we must develop the accountability, and we must enforce accountability in law enforcement and the criminal justice system. And to the black police officers, you must first, and we call on you to first recognize that you are black men and women first. I don't give a damn if you say, well, I got to feed my family, I got to do what I got to do. You, black officer, you are a black man and a black woman first, and then police officers second. And we call on black police officers to recognize our common enemy who put our people in this condition. Y'all heard me say a couple of shows ago that when the officers in New York City attacked the Million Youth March, there was a special squad arranged by Mayor Giuliani, a special squad arranged by Giuliani, that it was black officers who, along with the crowd underneath the orders of the black power general, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, it was black officers who stood up in defense of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and began to even push their own white officers and stop the white officers. And so this was because they recognized that the black power general was doing something special on behalf of the black nation. And I'm here to say again, you must recognize and must know that you are a black man and a black woman first. I say that really you shouldn't even be enforcing the white law and be an enforcer for the white power structure. But if you are going to exist in that thing, then you got to know that you're a black man and black woman first, and you got to know that we will hold you accountable to the black nation. We must, again, defend the black youth. We must defend the black youth. We must work to defend our so-called lost generation. The black youth must be at the forefront. The black youth are the ones who will bring new revolution, new change, and new ideas into this world. It is the black youth that will do this. And so we must defend the black youth. We must reclaim and develop the black neighborhoods, all our neighborhoods that are not up to standard, not up to par, not up to the righteousness of the black nation, the peace and prosperity that exists in the black nation. We must develop and reclaim the black black neighborhoods, must defend the black rights in general. Whatever your right is, as a black man or black woman, we must defend your rights. And you must defend your rights. We must work through black defense leagues. We must call on black legal organizations, attorneys, black activists, pastors, preachers, churches, organizations, and leadership of every stripe. We must organize you, and you must organize with us to defend black rights in general. And we must push these bastards on a local level to give us the reparations and compensation that is due for every member of the black nation. We know that this government and the corporations and the white private citizens of the region have willfully, intentionally, and recklessly enslaved and discriminated and robbed and disenfranchised our people in all kinds of ways. We know this. We know this, that your banks, that your infrastructure, that everything that you exist and operate off of was built off of the black man and black woman, built off of the slave trade system. We know that you right now profit from a new neo-racism and a new neo-colonialism. We know that you profit right now from our disenfranchisement. And so we know by the evidence presented and other evidence that you are guilty of robbery, that you are guilty of murder, that you are guilty of lawlessness and savagery. And we know that we are owed billions of dollars, and we're owed all the land that we want. We know this. And so we must push these bastards for local reparations and compensation. I don't give a damn how red they get in the face. I don't care how they feel about it. It don't make no difference. You are a criminal empire. You are a criminal empire that is running off of the backs of my people and off of the blood of my people and off of the brutality and murder of my people. You are operating and existing today from theft and land stealing and suffering and death and physical and mental injuries and just straight up abuse, slander, and just crimes of all kinds of magnitude. You are the worst kind of every filthy robber out there, and you are existing today because of what you have done to black people. And so you owe us straight up reparations. It's not about begging you for anything. It is about following the laws of justice in Mayotte, and that if you don't follow the laws of justice, you know what the punishment is. And we told you in the beginning that it's straight up freedom or death. We told you that it's freedom or death. And so these are things that we are pushing for, brothers and sisters, in every single city in the hills of North America, in every single township and province in the hills of North America and throughout the world. We are working and want to work with you to enact these things on a local level within your cities, and we need your support. We need you to email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com and present yourself and come forth to build up your town, build up your area, build up your house, build up your own life on behalf of black power. And again, don't forget now, this is No warning shots fired. And so we'll take a quick call before we get into this last part of the segment of the show. It looks like 626-399. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Yeah, just a comment. And, you know, I commend you on your statements. And without a doubt, you know, this is a brother person kid. And without a doubt, I definitely commend, you know, everything everyone is doing. We may have come to a time of saying, how far are we willing to go? Okay? When you're dealing with these crackheads, these Uncle Toms, these, you know, they have assimilated, their corruption is complete, okay, especially the Negro that is complicit, i.e. the Negro police, the Negro politician, the Negro military figure, a lot of their corruption is complete, okay, and they've proven that in their actions, i.e. fighting for the cracker, okay, and trying to do everything to assimilate or actually to destroy us, those of us who want black progress for this cracker. It's already proven. That's nothing that, you know, we have to rehash. One of the things that we'll have to, not just that we'll have to, there's certain steps, and of course on a public forum like this we shouldn't say them, but there are certain steps that, you know, we might have to ask ourselves real soon, and I'm talking within the next 6 to 7 months, ask ourselves, how far are we willing to go, okay? White nationalist crackers, i.e. the Tim McVeighs and others, have proven how far they're willing to go for their point. We're going to be put to the wall. And if we don't see it already as blacks, as black nationalists, as Africans, black power, Moors, Hebrew Israelites, nations of Islam, whatever we want to, you know, describe as our, you know, as our, what our, you know, what our alliances are, we've already been put to the wall. Within the next 6 to 7 months, especially after these elections, we may have to go ahead and ask ourselves, like the Tim McVeighs or the white nationalists or the Freemen or the, you know, the whatever crack organizations that are out there, how far are we willing to go? And are we going to take those steps to make sure, one, reciprocity, and two, for our own self-survival? I just wanted to kind of put that out there, just, you know, just an idea.
Yes, sir, and that's straight up. And that's straight up the same sentiment that I share. We in the same boat ride on that one, brother person kid, because you know, it's going to, again, as we say, revolution is bloody. And as we talked on the last show, we can't even put that word in our mouth if we're not willing to do some pretty bold things, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. And I call it very progressive or productive things, for, you know, for lack of a better term, that we may find ourselves, just for our own survival. Look at what are called the preppers, okay? And we all know who they are. We should know who they are, okay? This whole prepper movement is not a movement of just saying, you know, oh, you know, the economy's collapsing and whatnot. They're preparing to try to shoot black folk on sight, okay? And it depends on what, you know, instead of being reactionary, what are we as proactive? There's many materials out there as what I call progressive modes of self-protection that one might be forced to take, and that might have to be a very proactive mode of protection.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. You're exactly right. No disagreement here.
So I just want to kind of put that out there. And, again, I commend everything everybody's doing. And, you know, I try to, you know, to give whatever ideas or try to, you know, contribute even information resources, and I think you can find that under my name, Person Kid, information resources that we need for self-protection. But anything you can, you know, that I can help, I'm there 100%. And I just want to say, Hotep, thank you guys for everything you do.
Hey, thank you, Brother Person Kid. We definitely want to organize with you wherever you are in your city. So make sure you email me so we can get there and put some things, you know, off of the air in motion.
Definitely.
Yes, sir. Hotep to you, brother, and Black Power.
Black Power.
Yes, sir, y'all. And that was Brother Person Kid. And so y'all hear the sentiment. The sentiment is the same, that, hell, we must know what we're willing to do to make what we're saying a reality. And that's why we're telling y'all tonight and saying straight up tonight that there are no warning shots fired. You have to understand, and we should understand. I mean, just something as simple as trying to flee for our lives in terms of with what happened in Katrina and Hurricane Katrina, you know, that they had sheriffs that were there firing shots and shooting at our people, forcing our people to go back into the waters, okay? And so when we talk about defending black rights in general, I mean, this is everything that we're talking about. And it was the new Black Panther Party that, again, took buses into New Orleans with a special evacuation team that put as many as we could on the bus to get our people up out of there, going all through the marshals, the national chairman, and then went all through the marshals and all through the, you know, security procedures and all through that to get our people out of there. And so when Brother Person Kid is saying, what are you willing to do? That is real talk. We must have and be willing to put our lives on the line that our people may see a brighter day and a better future. And I want to, in the last remaining minutes here, talk on a situation called Uncle Tom. And, of course, now Uncle Tom was made famous and popular by our sister Harriet Beecher Stowe, and that was around 1852. And according to Sister Harriet, this Tom figure, was supposed to be one who was so loyal to the slave master that his loyalty betrayed the interest of his own freedom and his people's freedom. And as y'all know, we stay bringing the heat on the beast. We stay bringing the heat on the beast. But I don't want y'all to think that we forget about the Toms that are running around too. I mean, really, we try to show our people love, you know, because we know that we are destroyed. We are mentally, morally, and economically and socially destroyed. And so we try to show our people as much love as we can. But as you heard me state from the official position of the new Black Panther Party, in our objectives, our local objectives, that, hell, we will deal with any black organization or black leader that betrays the interests of the people. And I must call you straight out. I got to call you straight out, Bishop E.W. Jackson Sr. This is not to be confused with Jesse Jackson. That's another subject for another day. But this is Bishop E.W. Jackson Sr., the president of STAND. And if y'all don't know what STAND means staying true to America's national destiny. And I am proud to say to you, sir, Brother Bishop E.W. Jackson Sr., that you are a straight-up Uncle Tom. And how dare you criticize and condemn the new Black Panther Party on any level in trying to please the white man. You are a Tom, and you and your organization, y'all know what y'all can do, talking about staying true to America's national destiny. The national destiny of America is to keep black people enslaved, to keep us in this perpetual system, organized and made popular by Willie Lynch and the Willie Lynch protocols. And that is what America's national destiny has been and what America's national destiny is until there's complete constructive change. So we say to you, sir, that it is wise for you to rethink your position and your program against the new Black Panther Party, for you will find yourself all alone out there, timing against the black nation. When the white man cuts you off, cuts off your funding, and cuts off your resource, and you will find yourself all alone needing help, and there will be no help and nowhere for you to stand on. And we also call you out, brother, and I still will say brother because you're part of the black nation, and the same with the bishop. You're part of the black nation, so you're a brother by nature, but by circumstance, it's something different. I'm talking about Reverend Al Sharpton. And we're telling you straight up tonight on Black Power Radio, you have been a coward for ducking the national chairman. You have been a coward for not responding to the needs of the new Black Panther Party. You have been a coward for not standing up when we needed you, when the DOJ and others were assaulting us. You wouldn't even return a phone call. And until, I'm telling you straight up, until the national chairman tells me to turn the fire off, I'm going to put the fire on your ass, Reverend Al Sharpton, straight up coward, with a talking about a national action network, and we don't get no action out of you. We don't get no action out of you, and the action that we get out of you is mediocre at best nowadays. Stop trying to please the white man. Return home to the black nation. Return home to your people, and return home to the ones who have supported you over the years. Return home to those who have held you on the shoulders for years, even when the white man drops you down in controversy. Reverend Al, stand up and be strong. Stand up and get the black man and black woman up out of the mud and stop shuffling and shucking and jiving for the cameras. That's what I'm talking about. Stand up and be a grown, true revolutionary and a true preacher in the spirit of Reverend Nat Turner. We need some real national action. We need some real black power. We need some real revolutionary movement. We don't need people faking and jiving for the cameras. And so we got to say, Reverend Al, you're timing right now. You're timing right now. You've been bitten by the timing bug, and we're going to tell you to stand up and be strong. Stand up and be strong. We're telling Michael Steele, stop being a coon for the white man. You are the Republican chair. Stop being a coon for the white man. You make yourself and your people look shameful. You make yourself and your people look shameful. You write a book and you put a little funny quote against the new Black Panther Party in the quote for the pleasure of the white man. Stop being the white man's nigger in 2010. Michael Steele, stand up and be strong. Stand up and understand what your people have gone through for the past 400 years in the hells of North America, what we have suffered in the hells of North America, at not only the hands of the Republican Party, but the hands of the Democratic Party as well. Stand up and be bold. Get your spine up. Get your chest out. Get your head up. Huh? Be the proud black man and black woman that is in your DNA, but is covered up by the foolishness and the coonery that was heaped on us by the white man. We also say to you, Robin Quivers, if y'all don't know who Robin Quivers is, Robin Quivers is the black woman that you will hear on Howard Stern, that big-nosed, nasty radio announcer Howard Stern. Robin Quivers, we tell you to stop being a coon and a buffoon for the white man. Stop making mockery of the black man and stop being an endorser of every racist comment and every racist slander that old pale-faced beast spits out of his mouth. We ask you to stop to being the way that you are and stand up and be strong in the spirit of a queen in Nzinga, a queen Hatshepsut. Stand up and be strong in the spirit of a Asada Shakur. Be strong in the spirit of a Fannie Shakur and an Angela Davis. Be strong in the spirit of a Queen Mother Moore. Be strong and be proud. Stop being a coon and a buffoon for the white man. You heard the way that we were talking earlier. We're talking about building a black power movement. And we cannot build a black power movement with you all running around cooning and buffooning and making us look crazy, crazy as hell. Get some knowledge of yourself. Understand who you are. And if you know who you are, quit faking and fronting. Quit faking and fronting and acting like the white man's nigger in 2010. We have political prisoners, Sister Robin, who are behind the closed doors, who are in the concentration camps. We have sisters like the Scott sisters, who right now are behind closed doors while you coon and buffoon for the white man. The Scott sisters are behind bars right now. Jamie Scott still right now needs treatment. This sister's on dialysis, brothers and sisters. She is on dialysis. She is in the end stages of kidney failure. And the prison industrial complex there won't even allow her to get treated. Her sister Gladys going through all kinds of mental depression, all kind of physical ailments, just watching her sister go to hell and go to waste, because she can't get the treatment that she deserves. She can't get the care that she deserves. And it was already said, that the Scott sisters shouldn't be in jail. This was something that happened around 1993. They were arrested for armed robbery, and around October of 94, they were sentenced to double life sentences in prison. But these are sisters, family who didn't even have any prior convictions. They didn't have any arrests, didn't have any criminal history, you know. And then three other men came forward and, you know, said that they were the ones that actually did the robbery. So how do you give these two sisters, these two queens, these two mothers of our civilization, how do you give them double life terms in prison? And they don't have any priors, no arrests, and no criminal history. Somebody better talk black to me. The Scott sisters need to be free. Free the Scott sisters. The Scott sisters need freedom. I would ask us in the black nation to write the queens, write Gladys Scott, write Jamie Scott. You can reach Gladys Scott at number 19142. Again, number 19142. CMCF/B-BLDG. That's for building. B-BLDG. P.O. Box 88550. P.O. Box 88550. In Pearl, Mississippi. In Pearl, Mississippi, at 39288-8550, the zip code, 39288-8550, or Jamie Scott at number 19197, CMCF/2A-B-ZONE for zone, /2A-B-ZONE, P.O. Box 88550, P.O. Box 88550, right there again in Pearl, Mississippi, P-E-A-R-L, Mississippi, at 39288-8550. And if you didn't catch it, please go back and listen to the archive show and write that number down and write to the Scott sisters. Give them your support. Scott sisters, we love you and we want your freedom. We're organizing and working for your freedom. You can call the commissioner there of prisons in the state of Mississippi, Christopher Epps. Call Christopher Epps right there in the state of Mississippi. You can also call Emmett Sparkman, the deputy commissioner. I happen to have his number. It's 601-359-5610. 601-359-5610. And that is Emmett Sparkman, the deputy commissioner, or look up the name Christopher Epps. He's the commissioner of prisons for the state of Mississippi. Hell, bombard their phones. Bum rush the phones. Blow the phones up and make their asses release the Scott sisters. Organize rallies in Mississippi. Hell, write. Do what you got to do. Hell, if you got to get up there and give them some BLA action, to consider that. Do what you got to do. We got to get our political prisoners free. We must get our political prisoners free. And just on another note on that, the men who confessed to the crime, received lighter sentences. They got 10 months for their plea bargain. They got 10 months, and these women only got, I mean, pardon me, these women, these sisters, got double life sentences. They got 10 months on a plea bargain, and the Scott sisters got double life sentences. And only the only thing that was taken was between $9 to $11, they say. So a double life sentence for $9 to $11. That's all it was, $9 to $11. So write the Scott sisters and bum rush the commissioners and the deputy commissioners. We got to really work. Like the brother Person Kid said, we got to know what we're willing to do. And it does not take that much time out of our day to write those behind bars, those locked up, and those who are prisoners of war, our political prisoners. We must get freedom for the Scott sisters. We must develop again and enforce accountability in the criminal justice system and the law enforcement system. And I want to say to the listening audience that the brother who created Solar Records, Brother Dick Griffey transitioned to the ancestors today. Brother Dick Griffey transitioned. And so we say our shame to our new ancestor, Brother Dick Griffey, the man who created Solar Records. He transitioned. But in all of this, family, keep your head up. For those of us who are in the revolutionary movement, keep your head up. For those of you who are on the fence, hell, keep your head up and get the hell up off of the fence. After everything that I've talked about tonight, everything that I've said tonight, something has to change. Something has to touch us to move. Something has to strike to our core to make us get the hell up. And we ain't talking for the white supremacist that's listening. We ain't talking about no go back to Africa movement alone. Hell yeah, we want Africa. That's our home. But hell, you ain't gonna send us there. We'll go because that's our home. And hell, where we are now is our home, and any other place on this planet is our home, because we are the original people, the mothers and fathers of civilization. And so, hell, if we go back to Africa, or should I say when we are in Africa, our main focus in Africa will be the liberation of Africa. It will be the liberation of U.S. imperialism from Africa and the African continent. It will be the liberation to remove the white power structure that's there in Africa, out of Africa. It will be to uproot you the same way that the black power movement is to uproot white power in America. It will be the same thing there in Africa. It will be the same thing to uproot Arab imperialism right there in Africa. The same thing to stop the lighter of our family from slaughtering the darker of our family as what's going on here in the hills of North America. As I said earlier, and I'll say it again, the same problem that exists over there in the mother country exists right here in the hills and the smells of North America. We are one family. We are kith and kin, and we are interlocked in a struggle that is designed and divine for us to get full and complete freedom. But we must first take steps to work towards our own liberation and our own salvation and our own divine destiny. As I said before, we are slaves in the hells of North America through the white power system, and we do not have time to buck dance. We do not have time to party and play around. We do not have time to be entertained by ignorance and foolishness and waste time doing nothing. We have time to plan for our liberation. We must get like our ancestors were in the barns, and our ancestors were in the fields and in the slave houses. We must come together now to start talking about getting free. Who's going to be the first to overthrow the white supremacist educational system? Who's going to be the first to make sure that those that are in our community that are supposed to enforce law are accountable? Those that are in the criminal justice system are accountable. Those who are around our black youth, that our black youth are defended, that our neighborhoods are reclaimed, that everything that we do is right and exact, that our black rights in general are defended, that the reparations that's due so that we can build land and hospitals and manufacture for ourselves and stop going to everything white and begging the white man for his or hers, that we can have our own, that we can have and have to be able to defend economic power and to be able to produce and defend our own political power, that we who are in this movement can again have proper black power through our educational process and proper black power through a continuous black power movement. And so as we close up in the last 5 minutes, I remind us on behalf of the national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and the entire new Black Panther Party, I say it to us and I say it to the black nation and those listening throughout the world, black power means to define and develop what is in the best interest of black people. It is to define, develop, and defend. It is not to be used in a manner that is reverse racist or reverse racism, and it is not equal the white supremacist or the white power structure saying white power or pushing for white supremacy. We are not the reverse KKK. The only time that you even see the new Black Panther Party really is when you're messing with us. Any time besides that, we're working, we're organizing. When you see us in places like Newberry, South Carolina, when you see us in West Virginia, when you see us in Cincinnati, when you see us in Texas, when you see us in California and Detroit, and when you see us in New York, when they broadcast us all on the air, on their media outlets, it is because you have done something to one of our people. And we are bold enough and brave enough to go to the defense and go to the rescue of our people. We need more people to stand up. More people must stand up. More must stop, as the Black Power General said. More people must stop faking and fronting, and we must begin to stand up. And so I think that at this juncture in the show, it is fitting to leave you with a poem by the last poets called Niggas Are Scared of Revolution, so that we don't fall into the same trap as the nigger, but that we become righteous and original black men and black women. And we invite you again to listen to us again this Wednesday. Listen to us again on this Wednesday for another edition and a power-packed edition of Black Power Radio. And I leave you as I came, of course, in peace and always with Black Power.
Niggas are scared of revolution.
Niggas.
But niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution.
All niggas.
Because revolution is nothing but change. And all niggas do is change. Niggas come in for murder and change and the pimping clothes. They hit the streets to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde. And those black hair and lips will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change.
Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding.
riding around in L's. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very undeserving people. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution.
We don't want to have anything to do with any race of dogs, two-legged dogs, that will stick four-legged dogs on innocent, harmless women, children, and babies.
Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love dear Malcolm X, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
We declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any